The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Paid 2.1 billion euro in tolls on the M50. That's since eFlow was introduced in 2008. Meanwhile, in 2024 alone, road users paid over 430 million at various toll booths around the country. That's according to figures obtained by News Talk under the Freedom of Information Act. Now, to dive a bit deeper into the figures, we're joined by News Talk reporter Andrew Louth. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
First, how much would it cost to drive through toll booths around the country? It varies.
Yeah, it does vary. So it could be anywhere for a car, it could be anywhere between 170 it would cost you at the M3 in Meath, and that could go up to 350 at the on the M4 at around Kinnegad. And that's how much it is off peak to go through the Port Tunnel as well. And that's just for cars. So the most articulated of trucks and lorries would be looking well over €7. Those prices have been going up in recent years. If you remember in 2023, Pat, the government, they deferred it for 6 months. So they basically took on the heat for 6 months in 23 with the cost of living crisis. They've only gone up twice since then.
Mm. Now, looking at the figures, the M50 taken in 2.1 billion euros since the Westlink toll bridge went to eFlow.
Yeah, so this was in 2008, as you said, and I think even the most observant of commentators would say that's breaking it in, essentially. And 211 million last year alone. And that brought it over the 2 billion threshold since eFlow came in. So it costs 230 to go through the M50 eFlow if you're in a car and you have one of the tags. If you don't, then it could go above €3. The M50 itself initially cost £53 million when it was first constructed. That sold for €600 million back to the state. It was an issue under a PPP scheme.
That's pretty nice money, huh?
Yeah, it is.
£600 million for the an initial investment of €53 million.
Yeah,
now, obviously, they had some running costs in the meantime.
Oh, of course, yeah. And there was a €1 billion upgrade at the end of 2010. If you remember, that it widened to three lanes from the M1 down towards the Sandyford exit at Junction 13. And it also turned a lot of roundabouts into those free-flowing interchanges as well. And I spoke to some motorists near one of the M50 exits just to get their thoughts on tolls in general.
When you look at the amount of revenue they take in, it's not right. I know they needed the money to build the road and all that, but something should be done about it. There's a lack of transparency on everything in this country, you know. It's all done cloak and dagger, you know.
Yes, they are, and they've increased, actually, in the last couple of months. So I come from Galway, so they have increased, so yeah.
So you'd actually have to go through a couple of tolls then if you were coming up to Dublin?
Yes, I come up to Dublin 2 to 3 times. Sorry, once every 2 weeks, and I have to do 3 tolls each way. I don't believe they're needed because I don't believe that the funds are distributed equally. Dependent on where the toll is, I don't believe that they are.
Only if they're putting it into the smaller roads, because unfortunately you find when you're driving around all the roads, the smaller roads are not getting, you know, the attention they need. There's potholes everywhere and stuff like that. Unless that money from the M50 is going into the likes of that, well then, if it's not going into that, well then I don't know where the money's going to. You know, where if they're that money that they're making from the M50 is going into the smaller roads, I don't have any issues with the toll in that sense.
They are expensive, yes, and they're going up again for what the reason.
They thought they're going up more now than they used to go up, but no.
Thought the government sold back to the whoever's obviously making lots of money.
The government owned them, maybe that was because they're all privately owned now, aren't they?
And now that last motorist makes a point. Where does the money go?
Yeah, so a lot of these motorways are operated by private companies under the PPP scheme. The M50 came out of that. So 2.1 billion, that could get you, a children's hospital or 321 failed Arts Council IT upgrades. But TII says that the M50 and the Port Tunnel tolls go through what's called protection and renewal facilities. So that means cleaning areas, replacing bulbs, repairing signs, potholes, and any damage that might be caused from collisions or more extensive repairs that may arise on a motorway. But it also pays out to, on the M50, it also pays out to the M50 concession company, which basically runs all of that for the TII. And that came to about 27 million in 2024, I believe.
Okay, so 27 million for just the running of the show with all the technology involved there and so on.
According to figures on Deeper anyway.
But still, it seems to me there's got to be a profit being made somewhere, and where that residual money goes, we don't really know yet. Now, that's just the M50. What about the rest of the tolls on the rest of the road network?
So combined, they collected 190 million euro, which rises to 243 million if you include VAT. That was in 2024, Pat. So that's up just under 11% on 2023. Again, going back to when prices have increased since then. And including VAT, so just some examples, the M1 up towards Julian Sandrata area, that made about 50 million last year, followed by the M4 at Kinnegad, that made about 46 million. And these are PPP schemes, going back to where's the money going. So private entities, these could be construction companies, bigger construction conglomerates, pension funds, they would have funded the construction of these roads back then, and they would have entered into 30 plus year contracts with the state to be allowed to recoup their investments. And I spoke to Trinity Professor Brian Caulfield to get an explanation around these.
The original idea of them was to build the infrastructure when the state didn't have the finances to be able to do it. And these infrastructure companies and finance companies essentially came in and they took the risk. They took the risk of building, you know, the different roads and all the rest, that they would recoup money. Some of the PPPs, as far as I know, there are clauses in them that they will get back funding, like, say, I'm pretty sure the bridge in Waterford, if that didn't meet its targets, then the state had to step in. It's perhaps something that we may should revisit, especially if, you know, it seems as if building motorways and roads are back in vogue. So do we have a toll on the bypass around Galway? Will there be tolls on the road between Limerick and Cork? The majority of the motorways that were constructed around the country never really met international standards when it came to traffic flow. So whether I think we over-engineered these solutions, but we have them now and they're great, and they're very important for moving people and for moving freight. In most of the cases where a PPP is there is the alternative not to use the toll. Obviously, you know, very few people do that because of the huge time savings that are there. I think maybe if you take a step back and go away from the PPP and think about you know, the average person, and they're hit in terms of the VAT that's put on fuel, they're hit in terms of the VRT they pay for their car, they're hit in terms of the tax, insurance and tolls.
And that's Professor Brian Caulfield. Now, Brian mentions the state having to step in if some of the roads don't meet traffic volume targets. And it seems to me that the PPPs, they have their investment. They're supposed to be taking a risk, but they have an insurance policy from the state to top them up if they don't hit the target. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
So, where's the risk?
Exactly. This applies to the M3 in Meath and the N18 Limerick Tunnel. Pat. So these were contracts signed in around 2006-2007 when Martin Cullen, I believe, was the transport minister. So basically what it is if they don't meet a certain threshold, certain number of cars driving through these particular tolls, the state will top them up. And I had a little dig through these, and I could find from 2011 to 2022, but under these clauses, 78 million euro has been paid out to combined to the operators of these two tolls. And Limerick is bearing a large brunt of this. About 60 million went to Limerick and about just under 18 for the M3. And in some years for the M3, the state hasn't actually had to pay out at all.
It does seem like another example of great government waste, doesn't it? You know, these toll investors, they have belt and braces.
As you pointed out, they make the investment and it comes with a risk, but seemingly it doesn't come with much risk. And, you know, this was the contract that the state signed with these particular companies, and they obviously wanted a guarantee on their return on investment, and the state just gave it to them. So tolls in general are always a tricky one for politicians. I think many, at least in the government side, they acknowledge the benefits of what the PPP scheme was at the time, and that they didn't have to put a penny in towards actually paying for the road. These companies just built it for them. But now they're also joined with having to try and convince their constituents why they have to pay more when prices go up. And somebody I spoke to was the ANC leader, Patrick Tobin. He's been a major critic of tolls, and especially ones under TII ownership like the M50.
These two bridges were built for £53 million. The public-private partnership that built them actually recouped their full tolls, or full costs of those bridges, in 1 year of tolls. They then sold those bridges to the state for €600 million. And now we've paid billions of euros in terms of tolls on those two bridges. We were told initially that the purpose for tolls was to pay for the roads that we're using, and it's quite clear that the commuters have paid for those two bridges well over 20 times now at this stage. And I would actually call on the government to actually stop the tolling of the M50. I think at this stage it is simply penalising people who have no alternative. We are paying for our roads through our car taxes at the moment, and actually we're paying obviously for infrastructure on the basis of our income taxes as well. The government is squirreling away about 8 billion euros a year now on surpluses with regards the budgets that are happening in this country, and so there's no doubt that this is an extra tax.
And that's Aintu leader Pada Tobin ending that report from Andrew Louth. Andrew, thank you very much. Some of the texts coming in. Remember, the M50 toll is largely an unequal burden on north side drivers. That's from Vincent in Nace. And there are more saying that. Please ask your guest about the fairness of the tolls. Why can't we have a small toll per section of the M50, like that which is done in Johannesburg? Currently, those of us living on the N3 or N4 exits are unduly burdened by tolls that many other M50 users do not have to pay. That's from D. And I think, Andrew, that's one of a proposal that's kind of knocking around in the ether.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And if you go back to what one of the motorists that I spoke to said, like, she comes from Galway and she has to go through three tolls just to get up to Dublin, which he has to once every couple of weeks. So there absolutely is an element of unfairness there.
A final one for now. Tolls in the Algarve were stopped this year after being there for 10 years. I'm just back. So tolls can stop. Also, the toll bridge in Drogheda sends traffic into the town instead of encouraging them to bypass. These tolls should be time limited. I think the bridge cost 70 million originally. It must be paid for long since. That's from another texter.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.